Good morning. As always, it's good to see you, especially if you're visiting with us. We're glad you've come our way. Glad to have our prodigal Lawrence back, who journeyed without journeying. But it's glad to have him home and glad to have him with us this morning. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about something that we touched on in class, which is influence. And I want to kind of go back to our scriptural reading, which is 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning of verse 16. And I want us to kind of look over this just a little bit closer in the fact that it says, therefore, meaning after these things that we've been reconciled to, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. And what that means is that we don't look at people based on what they have, or whether they're good looking, or how much money, or whatever, however smooth they may be. We don't look at them that way anymore. We now look at them as a soul, and that we look at them as someone that is either for the living God or against. All right, and so if we're going to do that, it says that even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, and realize who's doing the talking here, that we have apostles doing the talking, that they were with him in the flesh. They knew who he was as a man. They knew what he did. They knew how he talked, his whatever his hoo-hoo moments are. As I have habits, he had habits. He would say things, and they knew those things about him. And it says, yet, even though we have known him in the flesh, we now know him thus no longer. Because it's not about that. It wasn't about the man he was in the flesh. They found out what his purpose was. They found out what the capacity of love is and what the capacity for change can be. They, and of course, this is Paul. Paul, the one who had opposed all of that, who had seen him and thought he knew something and doesn't know that thing, has now come to understand completely who Jesus is. And we know, no longer do I know him that way. I know him this way. And so because of that, you see, therefore if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, because you don't see Jesus like you did. He's not just a story. He's not just an example, that he's personal. And so, that he is a new creation, that old things have passed away, and that all things have become new. And what made him new? Is getting up in the morning any different than it was before? No. Is it the things of life going to be any different today than they've ever been before? Not from the standpoint of the things that go on around us. But the way I view them certainly is. It's called a paradigm shift, and we've had this paradigm change of which I don't look at things the way I used to look at them, about what was important and what is not important. I now look at things differently, and I look at them for the reason and for what's happening that way. I want them according to what God would have it be, and he has shifted me. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So it is, the point is that if I understand and have had my paradigm shift, if I have moved from Jesus, the physical man who did these things and sacrificed himself for us, to the spiritual man, the Son of God who came and emptied himself that we might live, the thing that we just remembered. If I understand what that all is about, then it has changed who I am into a ministry of reconciliation. My reconciliation? No. My reconciliation has already been made, because I've come to Christ. I'm a new man. That spirit of reconciliation now is for other men, that I would be the agent of reconciliation, that they may have a paradigm shift as I have had a paradigm shift. You see, that is what this is about, is that's our ministry. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation, Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. It's our job. And I want us to see it not in the form that we generally have, oh, we need to go out and teach Jesus Christ, as that sense. That's not really what I want to talk about. Even though that I wanted to go out and declare what caused my paradigm shift and maintains it. I want to talk about why I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want to talk about what the spilling of His blood did for our trespasses. I want to talk about who He is and what He did, and that we didn't partake of the body and the blood, we partook of the love that He had for mankind. And so that as ambassadors then, as it says, that we will go, okay, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one may be received the things that he has done in the body according to whether they be good or whether they be bad. And knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Wow. So, as you can see, the sense in which I want to talk about that is how do I use my influence? And so we've been trying to talk about that, trying to show the difference between a dwelling in faith, okay, and versus teaching a concept. That my faith, and by the way I act, by the way I speak, by the way the things that I do, that I teach, but I am teaching with an active example, so that if I were to teach by word, that I teach also by word, and it is believable by the things that I do. That the faith is not the embodiment of all the facts we need to be pleasing to God, but instead is the heart that wants to. That I need to show my heart, that I need to show why I believe to the point of desiring to do the thing that God would have me do, why I do what I do, and it is for Him and His purpose. It is not mine. I'm not saying we don't need the facts, because we do, and I'm not saying that teaching the facts is not important, because it is. But I'm saying that I believe that God is, and that a relationship, the relationship with God is more important, is what we're going to teach. And if we don't teach that, we really haven't taught. So, the battle in making a difference. And so, I want to ask you, where are you going to make a difference? And the first thing becomes, you make a difference in your own heart. Do you not? I make a difference to me. Because I move my salvation from eternal fire to heaven. But then after I do that, I have the ability to make a difference to my family, and I have an ability to the congregation and to the community that is based that in our belief that is not a stilted duty list, but a hunger to please the living God. And you see, sometimes I wonder, has our zeal lessened? Do I feel like that what I do and why I do what I do is really for God and is pushing in that direction? And that's part of why I'm wanting to use the word influence today. It remains that way. I think that there's a number of things that cause us to feel like we are active in the kingdom of God. And one of them is what we're going to talk about, how we use our influence, that we actually use it. I think there's some risk taking. When I take a risk, not knowing what the outcome will be, that I take that leap, that tells me that I am still about what God would have me be about, when I will take some risk for the kingdom of God. And I think there are things that tell us, and that we need to tell our own heart, that we're okay. And so the declaration of however we make the declaration, that and use our influence, we, especially when we do it on purpose, we are telling our heart that it is right before God. And so, I wonder sometimes, do preachers get the point across the way we should? And sometimes I believe that our feelings need to be touched. And that the details, preachers are good about details. But I have some stories that we're going to look at this morning, and I want you to see what I'm talking about. First, let's define influence. Influence is a flowing in, into, or on, and referring to substances, spiritual or too subtle to be visible, like inspiration. Now, I want you to know that a picture of dominoes being pushed over, one domino has influence on the other domino, and it ain't spiritual, but it's active. And so I want you to think about some of that. In a general sense, it denotes the power whose operation is invisible, known only by its effects. Now you see, that would be the kind of influence that I'm thinking about, is the influence where you feel it by something that's not really visible. And so someone's good attitude around you can influence you, and that you are influenced by it, and you feel better, and you can think better. Or it could be negative and go the other way. We could do that. It talks about the idea of celestial bodies that exert gravitational pulls and things along those lines against another body. That there is moral power, power of truth operating on the mind, rational faculties or will in persuading or dissuading someone. Sometimes it's physical power, and so the sense of touch has that we have influence on one another, and that the rays of the sun have influence on white clothing, that the power of acting on sensibility is another sense of influence, or the immediate power of God on the mind, which is the one that we have been influenced by. So that we've all come to this place where we come to believe that we're and being guided by God's word, moved into action, is for the purpose of influencing others. So if I act correctly, this is what we say, that if I act correctly, I will have influence on others to act correctly as well. Okay, and that my personal benefit is that God has promised to reward me with heaven for my efforts, that my influence on others is to be constant and continual, and that it is to be given in a positive or happily, for it is well with my soul. Now we sing that song, and I ask that question, is it well with your soul? And if we don't take the time to ask that question, if we don't do the things that we need to do that way, then we struggle. So, I want to talk to you about a young preacher. This goes back a lot of years as far as it goes, when gospel meetings were 2 weeks long. And this young man was invited, and it's his first opportunity to preach, and to preach for 2 weeks. And he was full. He did the proper work to do. He got it all done, and thought that he had the kind of message that would bring people unto Christ, and he's all excited about the way that he's even practiced his delivery so that it might be done properly. And he goes and he goes to the meeting, and he preaches his heart out for 2 solid weeks. And he does that, and instead of the crowds being, the room being full, they were moderate crowds. And then when he came to the invitation, you could almost see him lift to expecting someone to respond after I've given my heart into this. Yet no one did. The brethren listened attentively, but their reaction seemed more than of quiet politeness than interest. When the meeting ended, only one person had responded. It was a little 12-year-old girl. And she came and obeyed the gospel and was baptized into Christ. But he was disappointed that only one soul responded in 2 weeks of preaching. And it was obvious to the elders of the church, okay, he apologized to them, and I guess I'm not as far along as I thought I was, because obviously he thought his ability to preach had something to do with all of this. And I'm sorry for the fact that only one person responded to the invitation, but don't give up on me, I'm trying. The elders tried to console him, but his discouragement was not going to go away. And years pass. The little girl grows up. And when she was grown, she married a Christian man. And they had 5 sons who all became Christian. And literally hundreds became Christian. So did the man fail in his one response in a 2-week meeting? I want to say to you that his influence carried on and on and on. And we see that. We recognize it in a story like this, that he shouldn't have thought that way in the first place. Okay. And yet at the same time, we have those times when we think that we should have had more than what happened here. And so we don't generally see the results of the influence that we offered. That's one of the things of why we don't really know how well our influence works. In this case, the young preacher has no idea how much he affected the little girl. The little girl affected her family, and then the 5 preacher's son, 5 preachers then teach hundreds. So, did Jesus know how far a cup of cold water would go when he gave it? Now, here's someone who is aware. I don't know if he did or he didn't. But I know that cup of cold water meant something to the one who received it. And that person had something to say about that eventually. Then there's the story of a little girl that handed a preacher a note the last night of the meeting saying, and it said, I know it's got to come from me and that I have to change myself, but I've done many things that I now regret. And Tuesday night after the sermon, I went home and poured out my heart to God. Please keep me in your prayers, even after you leave. You're such an encouragement and inspiration to me. And enclosed was a $10 bill. She says, I know it's not much, but maybe it'll help some. I love you, Jeannie. Of course, it brought tears to the eyes of the preacher when he read it. And he read that note to hundreds of people in gospel meetings. Jeannie has no idea what influence she had with just a little note. And he doesn't even know her last name. And he wants to know her last name. And he'd like to tell Jeannie what a good influence she's been on hundreds of people, but that's never going to happen. And so you see, we discount the things that we can do. The little thing I can do. And it's important that we understand that influence is an interesting subject. That it doesn't matter how old you are or what sex you are or any of those kinds of things, you see. We don't know the result of what our influence is going to be, okay? And yet we know that influence works. We've been influenced ourselves and recognize it from people that we thank them for their influence. Okay, by the same token, we say from the mouth of babes who say things and not really understand what they're saying, but the truth of them are sometimes so real that we change our lives because of it. Some people think they don't have any influence. And yet I remind you of the cup of cold water. I've seen silence have influence. Everything's going crazy. People are saying all sorts of things. And one person just doesn't speak. Many times it is the small and insignificant things that influences the most. And sometimes it's simply our demeanor. And so the power of influence can be used for good and it can be used for evil. And so as we have done, all of us, sometime. When our attention is supposed to be focused in one place, we're passing notes because my mind isn't on that thing. Was it good? I don't know what was in the note. Please understand, I don't know if the note has more influence, number one, than what I should be doing of paying attention in the class, that what was in the note may be far more important than what's being taught in the class. Or what was in that note is a detractant from the thing that needed to be learned and was actually a use for evil. I don't know. But I think that we should think about things, don't you? Don't you think that sometimes we should do that, that when we realize that you're older and that younger people are looking at you, do you think that maybe you should set an example? That we're not the sports figures of today, it should be the sports figures of yesteryear that understood that we are role models and that they acted like good men because they needed to. Because people wanted to be baseball players because they were. Because they liked them, they liked who they were, they liked their stance off the field as well as on the field. Instead of being some sort of ugly, I want my way person that declares himself and I need more money. And we can always remember what the 12-year-old. So this is the way influence works. It starts in a small circle, one person, and then affects a small group, and then the small group affects more, and it becomes a ripple effect. And so, do we want to make a difference? In God's kingdom, do I want to make a difference? And so consider not only what you say you see then, but how you say what you say. I'm talking about tonal qualities. I'm talking about the words you're using. All those types of things. I want to do the best I can do. I want to consider what you look like. Is it okay to be less than norm? Do you let your temper take away from your example? Do you put your hand out first? Or do you make other people come to you? So how would you feel if you knew that your example was used for someone to do the wrong thing? You see, we have this idea that we want to choose the right path. It's true, we do. Okay, and yet, through some of the things that we say at times, through our loose comments, we say exactly the opposite of what we intend. And so all of that is to kind of give us an idea of thinking about this. And therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now I want to ask you what they did. When they went scattered and were preaching the word, do you think they were taking the example of what that word said with them? I believe so. Do you think they had influence on the people they met because of it? I believe so. And you see it. You don't have to be a gospel preacher to preach the gospel, okay? They weren't all preachers, but they preached. And so some of the best gospel is preached with no pulpit around. And so I'll declare to you a man that I know that that his pickup truck is his pulpit. He's all nerves in a place like this. Put a microphone in front of him and he can't hardly talk. But put him in the front of his pickup truck and he never stops. And the questions he asks are personal. Seriously personal. About who are you and what do you think? And he will tempt you and he will give all sorts of things going on. And yet he brings you to thinking that you need to have some of the best gospel then as well is not preached from up here, but from down there. That your attentiveness and that your thoughts and those that take notes and all that it is that you do, you are declaring something. And it has an influence. Those that would teach their children to do those things. And so when it comes to 1 Corinthians 11, imitate me just as I imitate Christ, is that we can. We have that ability to use our influence in the way Christ did. So you don't have to be the preacher to follow Christ, but you do have to line up and follow. Now just what does that mean? What does that mean? I think that part of the following is the sense in which I determine to do what God would have me do. And when I line up to follow, no matter what way I do that, somebody sees it. Somebody. In 1 Timothy 4, it says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, I think this statement was made to encourage Timothy as a young preacher, but I also make a point. I think we've taken it and used it with all young people. You have ability and power, and you need to use it. But the sense of this, the antithesis of this, is that older people should be about it all the time. They don't have to be taught this. They don't have to be told this. They're already about using their influence. So that the seed doesn't get scattered unless someone scatters it. And a Christian's example is some of the best preaching that can be done. And Timothy was told to be that. Be the good example. Why? We have an adage. I would rather see a point or see a sermon than hear it. That would put me in a very hard place, but okay. I will try to be better. All right. In Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so I want us to see it. That our shining, we are commanded to shine. And that our shining is simply by doing the things that God would have us do. Okay, and yet this comment kind of is more like today. Why should I run for office and lose what little influence I have? Because that's what we think of politicians today. So, everybody has influence. I have two sons. I have three sons, but I have two. My first two sons are Devin and Terry. Many of you know both of them, and you may know all of them. But the difference in Devin and Terry is remarkable. Both men are leaders, but in different ways. Devin is one of those smart guys that's got every rule already known in his pocket and can tell you what it is and how it's used. And if you want to go elsewhere, he will straighten you out on what the right, proper manner is of using that rule. And so when he was playing the games, he was not only in the game, but the umpire or the referee at the same time. Terry was not that kind of man. He didn't have that way of doing things. He was the most popular because if you asked him to come to the house, he would say, as his general, so Terry, what do you want to do? Whatever you want to do. And so he got invited all the time because when he came over, we get to do what I want to do. And then while he was playing with them, if they wanted to do something that isn't right, he said, we're not doing that. And I call him a leader from the back instead of the leader from the front. And he is just as strong a leader as Devin is. And so it's not a matter of how we use our influence. It's a matter that we do. And so when I look at them and how they worked, they're both tremendous examples to those that are around them. And yet their methodology is so completely different. So I ask that question, you know, are you making a difference? And do you intend to? This is not about how much gospel do you know. This is how much influence do you have. And let's use our influence for God. Let's make that one of our points in what we want to be and that we will be by trying it. And you can try it in a little way. If a cup of cold water or the conversion of a 12-year-old girl can affect hundreds, then I don't care how small. But let's be doing those things. If you're not a Christian, all things are ready that you might become one. And that your life may change where you come to understand that Jesus Christ was not simply a man. But he is the Son of God. And not just the Son of God, the one that became the sacrifice where we might live. And if you believe that, and if you believe that he is an example that should be followed, then you should be baptized into Christ. And if we, believing that, don't feel that we're living as we should and need the prayers of the congregation, won't you come as we stand and sing?